Palmer, and welcome to the Punks in Suits podcast, bringing the leadership thinking, beliefs, philosophies, and practices behind punky, startup-y, next-stage businesses to you, even if your company's not quite there yet. Hello and welcome to episode 42 of the Punks in Suits podcast. I hope you are really well. I am recording from a different location today. I'm actually recording from my car, so you may very well hear some stuff going on in the background. That is because I'm recording this just a few days before I go on annual leave, and I really wanted you to have a podcast while I was away, and my daughter is at Brownies, and I thought this is the actual ideal time. I'm doing nothing but sitting here in the car waiting for her. She goes to Brownies quite far away from home, in case you're wondering why I don't just go home. So I am doing this podcast in the car. You may hear some cars going by, you may hear some people talking. This is, like painting a picture with sound I'm doing for you here today. Anyway, I have a topic that I've really wanted to share in a podcast for quite a long time, and it keeps coming up over and over again. It has done for years. And the topic is what to do when the problem is your boss. Now, very often when people come for leadership coaching or they come for leadership development, the focus is on their leadership, or in my terms, their management of their team. So the people that report into them. However, when we're actually working together, more often than not, the team that reports into them is not the problem. They are quite happy with that. They may have one or two difficult characters. We may spend a bit of time talking about that. But the much bigger issue for most of those people is their own line manager. How do they manage their boss? Now, as I often say at the start of these podcasts, I'm a little uncomfortable with some of the terminology. So you will know that I don't like the term boss. I don't like the concept of boss. True leadership isn't about being anybody's boss. It is about being a leader from within, somebody that other people find compelling enough to collaborate with, to partner with, to follow, to join in with. It isn't anything to do with your management position. However, it can be very difficult to lead when you basically do have a boss, somebody who believes themselves to be your boss, who believes that their role is to tell you what to do and to monitor you very closely, to distribute work to you, to use their authority and their status in the organization to get you to get stuff done. So when I talk about boss, that is really what I'm talking about, people who are like that. Now, in this podcast, this is a little tricky because ordinarily, if I was working with someone one-to-one, two things would be the case. Firstly, we would be dealing with the specifics of their scenario, so anything we came up with would be unique to them. And secondly, I really wouldn't be in the business of providing answers. I'm not an advice giver. That's not the role of a coach. However, in this case, I think I'm hoping you'll forgive me. I'm hoping that you will understand that the suggestions that I'm making here are generic. They will not fit every situation. Every situation is different. And you may find some of these suggestions frustrating. You may think, well, I've already done that, or that won't work in my situation, or that hasn't really answered the question that I have. That is fine. If you want to pick up the phone to me or drop me a line by email and tell me a little about your personal situation, I'll see if I can help. I don't have so many listeners yet that I can't deal with a few emails from people who want a little bit of, not advice so much, but a little bit of direction, or maybe for me to ask some questions that will help you to think about this. So feel free to do that. But even if you don't do that, please understand that these are generic suggestions and that they may not work for you in your own situation, but hopefully they'll spark ideas for you. At the very least, I hope it will help you to know that this challenge is very common. It comes up in pretty much every situation where I'm coaching a leader, and no matter how senior they are. So even CEOs have this, because they have this challenge often from the group CEO or from the chairman or from the investors. There's always somebody who is on your back about what you are doing and who is making your life difficult. Now, where I want to start with this is that this is often called managing up. Now, I do think that the concept of managing up needs to be rethought. If you don't really believe in the hierarchy, if you don't want to play that game, even if it exists in your organizational structure as a hierarchy, it is actually not okay to blame your boss for the situation that you are in. It is too easy. It's too easy to say that it's not possible for you to do XYZ because of your boss. There are a lot of assumptions made about line managers. And I've heard some really, I mean, this is stuff I hear a lot, that they are idiots, that they don't care, that the people at the top of the organization can't make a good decision, that they only make stupid decisions. And having worked with people at all levels in an organization, I can tell you that I rarely meet people who are stupid, people who don't care, people who had an easy decision to make and a hard decision to make, a good one and a bad one, and they made the bad one. Very often, people throughout the organization are making decisions between a rock and a hard place. There is no good decision. There is no easy decision. And it may look easy or simple from where you sit, but actually where they sit, it does not seem simple. It's true that they may see the world differently to you, and if you were in their situation, you may have made a different decision. But typically, I can tell you that most senior people are deep thinkers who think very strong, very long and hard about the very difficult choices that they have to make. So the very first thing to do is to watch your own assumptions. Instead of making the easy choice to say, well, this guy or girl must be an idiot, and that's the only explanation for their behavior, give them a little benefit of the doubt and see if you can actually understand a little more about their world, how they see the world, and about the choices that were realistically available to them before you start judging them too harshly. I'm certainly not saying that they're perfect. They may be operating with very little self-awareness. They may be operating with a different agenda than yours. They may be operating with an agenda that is very self-serving, or certainly seems so to you. And they may be operating with some very old-fashioned ideas. But it is far too easy to dismiss them as stupid or not caring. Also, second point, if you can let go of your assumptions about what a boss or a manager should be and what a boss or manager should do, it will be a lot easier on you. As long as you are tangled up with how they should behave and how they shouldn't behave, or what they should do and what they shouldn't do, and that, you know, as a senior manager they should know better than this, as a senior manager they should have skills in these areas, as long as you're tangled up with all of that, you're bringing a huge amount of judgment to that relationship. Now, you may be right, okay, and you and I may have a conversation where we discuss your manager's behavior and think, well, that is, you know, very old-fashioned and very self-serving and not the kind of stuff that you and I would want to see. However, if you can let go of some of that assumption, some of that judgment, and acknowledge that they are a human being, regardless of their status, it will allow you to think differently about how you partner with them, how you form an authentic human connection, whether that is going to be possible. It certainly isn't possible when the only thing you bring to the relationship is all the ways that they should change and they should be different. The third point I want to question is, what is your boss's job or your manager's job when it comes to their relationship with you? Unless you've had a conversation, a kind of contracting conversation, and I imagine a number of conversations over a period of months and years, really endlessly negotiating and renegotiating the relationship, unless you've had that, managers will tend to fill the vacuum of not knowing what you want or need from them with what they think you probably want and need from them. Are you clear in your own mind about what you need? Are they clear on what you need? Do you know what you need from them? Have you discussed how you will work together? Have you talked about where you might trip each other up or where tensions might arise? I imagine, if you're listening to this podcast, you're the sort of person that has done this with their own team or would be willing to do this with their own team. But have you done it with your own manager? Now, you can't always do this with your manager. They don't always want to have that conversation with you. They're not into it. They don't get it. They don't think it's important. They don't believe that they are making assumptions. They think the relationship is very clear. They think they've made themselves very clear about what their expectations are of you. But even if you can't have the conversation directly with them, at least get clear for yourself. What do you want? What can you expect? I think you need to deal in the real world here. Not ideally what you would like, but in the real world, what can you expect from this individual? Now, if some of the things you want or need you can't get directly from them, where can you get it? Do you really need what you think you need? You're there to make an impact and to get results for the business. What role do you really need your manager to play in that? What role can you really expect them to play? Again, this might require you letting go of some stuff. In an ideal world, yes, your manager would be fighting your corner. Your manager would be sharing a lot of information with you to enable you to make really good decisions. Your manager would be trusting you. Your manager would be in dialogue with you. Your manager would leave you alone to get on with it. That's the ideal world. But given who your manager is and what you know about that person, what role can they play in your ability to make an impact, to make a difference, to get results? And what role can't they play? And if they can't play a role, who could play that role for you? Next point is around trust. And, you know, I love talking about trust. Levels of trust are very low. And you know, if this podcast is really resonating with you, it's possible that there isn't great trust between you and your manager. Now, some of this may be down to them. They may not be trusting. They may not be willing to trust. They may not realize that they can trust you. A lot of it sits with them. But there's some stuff that sits with you. If you don't trust yourself, how can you expect your manager to trust you? And there might be subtle ways you tell your manager not to trust you or that you don't trust yourself. So I don't know what these might be for you. I'm imagining situations where you constantly seek reassurance from your manager, or where you keep your manager updated with far too much detail than they can handle, or that you don't share enough with them for their taste, for their liking. What I want you to do is to just have a look at your behavior and say, ask yourself the question, might I be giving the impression that I don't trust myself? Might there be something in the way that I'm presenting myself to this person that gives them cause for concern? Now, you have to try to see the world through their eyes in order to do this. So if you're someone who really likes to be hands-off as a manager, you might think that it's good for managers to be hands-off. And the fact that your manager is really on top of you all the time must indicate that they don't trust you. But I think that that's a false assumption, or it certainly is an assumption. Just because your behavior means XYZ, their behavior may not mean the same thing. I hope that's making sense. So I want you to look at the world through their eyes. If you can't talk to them about it and you can't ask them what their behavior means because they're not up for that conversation, then you might have to do a little bit of guesswork. But do the guesswork standing in their shoes, based as much as you possibly can, given that you aren't them, on what the world looks like through their eyes. Just one piece here I want to add is that very often people expect their manager to give them a lot of reassurance. And some managers are really good at this. They're really good at the pat on the back and telling you you did a really good job and highlighting your successes to other people in authority. And some managers are not terribly good at that. Doesn't mean they don't appreciate you, but they're not necessarily good at showing it. But I think the question really for you to ask yourself is, why do you need to get that reassurance from somebody else? Certainly, why do you need it from your manager? How needy are you for it? There are lots of ways that you can get feedback, the feedback that you need in order to know that what you're doing is right, that it is appreciated, that you've hit the nail on the head. But the feedback that is really about, am I doing a good job? Is everything okay? The kind of reassuring, needy feedback. You might want to look inside a little and ask yourself, how can you get those needs met from within you rather than expecting them to come from your manager? Even if your manager's good at doing that, there's something slightly childlike about that need for constant reassurance, that need for your confidence to be bolstered by somebody more senior, by a sort of parent figure. Which brings me on to my next point, which is really about adult-adult relationships versus parent-child relationships. Now, I have written about in the past, actually, that what often happens, the dynamic really in a lot of organisations isn't parent-child, it's parent-teenager. So what you have in a lot of organisations is people who say they want to have a lot of freedom, they want to have a lot of autonomy, they want to be trusted, but metaphorically, they still want someone else to do their laundry and, bail them out when they get into trouble. And I want you to have a look inside yourself and just double check that you aren't being a teenager, that you aren't saying on the one hand that you want this autonomy and you want to be empowered and you want to take ownership, but at the same time, bringing a lot of issues back and escalating a lot of stuff for your manager to resolve. The ideal relationship between you and your manager is an adult-adult relationship. Now, your manager may not behave like an adult. Your manager may behave like a child or like a parent. But that doesn't mean that you have to adopt this kind of familial relationship with them. Just because they're being a parent doesn't mean you need to be a child. Just because they're being a child doesn't mean you need to be a parent. You can be an adult. And if you want to know more about that, I may talk about it in future podcasts. It's a theme I'd like to come back to, but you can do your own research online. There's a lot about adult-adult relationships and how to really get more comfortable with that kind of way of being in the professional environment. Final point is what to do when you can't do anything. You know, I don't want to see anybody pretzeling themselves into very uncomfortable shapes in order to be what their boss, what their manager wants them to be. Sometimes you, of course, have to, well, in fact, all the time, I think, you have to look inside yourself. You don't blame the other. You look inside yourself and you say, where am I getting in my own way? How am I colluding? How am I creating this situation? Where is the opportunity for growth within me that doesn't require other people changing? But even when you've done that, there is still the possibility that no amount of self-development by you is going to resolve this particular relationship issue that you have with your manager. Sometimes it's not possible and not worth it. And as I say, if it requires you growing as a person, that's great. If it requires you pretzeling yourself and being somebody who's completely out of sync with your authentic true self, then it's not okay. So if you're in this position where you think that you are in the pretzel, then the question is, well, what are your other options? Because self-development isn't always the answer. Sometimes this isn't the right role for you. This isn't the right team for you. It's not the right organization for you. Sometimes the boss's behavior is actually inadequate and something needs to be done about that. Sometimes it is actually somebody else's fault. So that leaves you with another set of options that aren't about your personal growth, but maybe about changing direction professionally, going to another organisation. And often in client conversations, that's one of the things on the table. So I hope that you have found that useful. I hope you haven't found the cars whizzing by my car window too distracting. I am, as I said at the start of this podcast, very happy to hear from you guys, asking questions, sharing stories, sharing experiences, things you've done that have worked, things you've done that have blown up badly in your face and you want to warn people against doing that. Very happy to hear those, and I will, of course, share them if there are some really good ones. I will be back, of course, next week with more stuff like this. If there are particular topics you want me to talk about in the podcast, please let me know. And as I say all the time now, please go to iTunes and leave a review and a rating for this podcast, because it helps more people to find out about it. And go to the thatpeoplething.com website if you haven't already, and sign up for our newsletter, with information about how you can stay in touch with me, how you can share those stories, and how you can connect with the rest of the Punks in Suits / That People Thing community. Here's the lovely Ivy Palmer.
We'd love to hear from you, especially if today's podcast has inspired you. You can also stay in touch with us on Twitter at Blair Palmer, Instagram at Blair Leeds Palmer, or by email, blair@thatpeoplething.com. And don't forget to rate or review this podcast on iTunes. It will help other people to find us and share these ideas. We would really, 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 really appreciate you doing that. Now, please, I'm begging you on my hands and knees, I'm really begging you, please. Bye.